Well, there were certain matchups going into the game that we thought were good, and then we get into the game and we're able to take advantage of those matchups. And, you know, in our offense, it's a progression read offense, so we don't go into a game saying this guy is going to specifically get the ball. We may like that matchup, but if he's covered, we'll go here or here or here. So at any time, anybody could get the ball. So we've had guys score touchdowns on secondary and third reads, and so it doesn't surprise me that they all got involved. We've been able to involve most of our guys in the offense. I think it bodes well for chemistry on offense when everybody has a role and they have a chance to make plays.
Mike, was Lamar's 22 carries, was that purely a function of obviously being ahead for all of the game and Daniel being out, or have you and Joe ever talked about what would Lamar do if we gave him, you know, 18-plus, 20-plus carries a game? Had that ever been discussed?
No, we did not have that discussion. You know, we had 80 plays in the ball game, so percentage-wise, it's probably not a whole lot different than what he's had from a percentage standpoint. When you consider the fact we had 80 plays, and with Daniel being out, he was told by me and his coach Jeff Nixon that he would carry a bulk of the load. So, therefore, he was able to do that.
Is it hard to sense with a guy like him whether he'd be better in smaller doses, 10 to 14 carries a game, or whether he could be maybe more effective, 20-plus?
Yeah, I would say most backs will tell you they're more effective the more carries, and I would tend to agree that they get a better feel for the game, better feel for the cuts. You know, the way we've done it with Daniel and him is, you know, kind of go with the hotter of the two hands, however we feel it coming. And then once one of them exerts themselves as the guy, then, you know, that person will probably get the bulk of the carries. I've always been a part of offenses where we had one feature back, and we haven't quite done that. We did that last year with Reggie, but we haven't quite done that this year. And I would say yesterday was about as close as we've gotten as far as featuring one guy, but it was also a matter of, you know, 80 snaps. You know, we had a fair amount of runs at the end of the game, and he did some nice things. He needs to get more explosive runs with 22 carries. He needs more explosive runs, pick our feet up through the hole a little bit. But I thought he ran hard, and I thought he was physical.
Going over 100 yards against the number one rushing defense, did you anticipate that kind of success?
You know, I go into a game, and I tell the guys, I say, I don't know if we're going to throw for more or run for more, or it's going to be balanced. I mean, at some point in the game, I usually make a decision which way we lean, which is a hard decision. But as you know, if we're running the ball effectively, I hang on to it. Or throwing the ball effectively, hang on to it. If we're running it better, we'll lean a little bit that way. So I never really have any anticipation. I've been in games before where thought we were going to run it, and you can't get an inch, you know, and you end up throwing it, or vice versa. So, no, I didn't anticipate that. I did not anticipate it. You know, I was hopeful we'd get some good yards, but they're a good defensive football team and have a great history against the run. So, you know, a lot of on Sunday, it's about attitude and matchups, and, you know, things kind of fit in place for you. And I think things, all the three of those areas kind of worked out for us.
Mike, was it a strange feeling in the fourth quarter actually calling plays with a comfortable fourth-quarter lead?
Yeah, we still hit that ceiling, though. We can't get over. I mean, it's some kind of rule. We can't get over a certain level of points. You know, I mean, what's wrong with scoring 30, 35 points? I mean, and having a little bit more breathing room. Gosh dang, we had so many opportunities, left plays or points on the field. But, yeah, it was nice to be in that. We haven't been in that situation, I think, since, what was it, the Cleveland game? Since we were able to put a four-minute offense out there. And I thought the line did a nice job of blocking. I mean, with a bunch of new faces in there, it's been a challenge for Jim Turner. And I think they played well last week, too, in a loss. But I thought they played well against very good defensive front. this week, and we will take some time off the clock with our four-man offense. I wish we didn't have to punt at the end, but that was just a function of we lost 2 yards on the first play, and we just could never get past the chains after that. But we really didn't give them much time left on the clock, so that was good.
You said that it's not easy at the time you figure out which way to lean, run, pass, all that. When the defense is on the field, how often during the game do you talk to Ryan or the fellow coaches up here? What do you do when the defense is on the field?
I go over to the snack bar and get something to eat.
But do you talk to him a lot during the game?
I talk to Zach. I talk to the other offensive coaches. They talk to the players, and through the players, they'll talk to me. The coaches will talk to me. What's Ryan saying? What's Ryan doing? Same thing with the receivers. Check. Can they win on this route? Can they win on that route? So, yeah, in between series, it's constant conversation. At the end of the game, I mean, you just mentally blown away. You're just fatigued and mentally and emotionally drained. In between series, that's what we do. We kind of have those conversations about what we feel good about, what can we do against certain players, how are they playing certain routes. Those conversations exist on the sideline. I talk to the coaches who have had those conversations with players, and I'll call down and ask, hey, see if so-and-so can do this and do that. So,
Mike, how would you describe the way Mike Wallace has played in the last 2 weeks?
I think Mike's played well. I mean, even in, what was the game? He had 3 catches. Was that a San Diego game? Was that he had 3 catches? I forget. But I think he's played. I'd say he's played well. I wouldn't limit it to the last 2 weeks. Obviously his measuring stick is going to be how many catches he has. My measuring stick is he doing what he's supposed to do, what we're asking him to do on every single play. And he's really made a difference in how people play us and has allowed opportunities for other people. And people definitely have a concern that, his speed can be damaging. And so they have some concerns when they'll maybe play 2 people in his direction to try to have someone over the top sometimes. Sometimes they don't. So we guess right sometimes. We guess wrong sometimes. But, Mike's doing a good job.
1 or 2 more?
We saw, I think, a lot more snaps for Deion Sims yesterday. I was going to ask you why that was. And the total volume of what you've gotten from Clay and you, Sims, especially Clay, has it exceeded what you thought you'd get when Dustin went down?
Yeah. Going into this game, I did want to be able to, I always evaluate how we're going to play the game to a certain degree, opponents and what they've done offensively. So we were going to definitely run the ball more in this ball game and hang with the run early in the game and see how that would work just from a time standpoint, controlling situations, get ourselves into manageable third downs. So the implementation of another tight end in the offense, 2 tight ends as opposed to a 3rd wide receiver, was more suited to the run game, even though we did throw it with that package. So that was probably elevated his snaps to some degree. As far as Clay is concerned, Dustin Keller was a phenomenal addition for us, and disappointed that we weren't able to use him. But I never thought Clay was anything but a starter from day one. Not to say that there wasn't a package for both of them as starters. But I've always considered Clay to be a starter in our offense coming into this season, and Dustin would have his role in the offense too as a starter. But I don't think Clay's emergence is any bit of a surprise based on what I saw last year. I'm just glad he's maintained his health and he keeps getting better. He's making some clutch catches that he didn't make all the time last year. He made some, but now he makes them more consistently. He's certainly a favorable target for the quarterback in certain situations. He's a big body, and he really works at his craft. I've seen this kid. Dan Campbell's done a phenomenal job with him. I've seen this young man develop his skill and his talent, just little nuances. He works his eyes and his head and his shoulders. I mean, he's just really become a very, very good. It's nice to see it with him. He's such a great kid. He has a smile on his face every day. You give him a hard time, he laughs. I told him, if you don't a certain thing I want him to do in the game. I said, if you don't do that, you know, you're going to be working for my buddy up in Lake City selling cotton candy. And, you know, he just gets jokes. He can joke with them, and he understands things. He said, okay, coach, that's our, you know, when he doesn't do anything, that's what I tell him. You're going to be, I got a job waiting for you up in Atlantic City. And he said, well, I want to sell ice cream. I said, no, you got to work your way up to ice cream. Started cotton candy. So, but he's the type of kid you can go out there every day. He has the same smile on his face. He works hard, works extremely hard. Makes a mistake, he gets his butt jumped, comes right back and fixes it. So he's not perfect, but he's going to continue to get better, and I'm glad he's on our team.